Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutan, and this is the show that brings you the most important conversations of the day. Now, the Seminary by-election is just 5 days away. Polling is on Saturday, the 2nd of March. Some 54,000 voters are eligible to cast their ballots in favour of the candidate they want. There are four candidates in the race. Now, the question, of course, is whether this is a significant by-election. Even if Pakatan Harapan loses the seats, which they are the incumbents, it will have no effect on the balance of power in the state of Selangor. The assembly is overwhelmingly held by the Pakatan Harapan parties. Now, to help us understand the relevance of watching these polls and what kind of stories we can discern or what kind of dynamics we can discern from this particular by-election, I have with me Shahrul Hamdan. He's a member of UMNO Youth or Pemuda, and he's the vice chief. Also with me, S. Aruchelvan, PSM Central Committee member and campaign manager for the PSM candidate. And he also was, of course, ran in the Seminary elections.
Yes, of course.
Multiple times, three times altogether. Now, I want to ask Shahrul, if Seminyer is truly significant as a by-election, which it seems like the media claims every by-election is significant, do you think it's significant?
I think it's especially significant for a number of reasons. One, because of the composition of the voters. I think it's fairly reflective of the Malaysian populace, the Malaysian electorate overall. So I think for that reason, it's perhaps more significant than some of the by-elections that we've had over the past couple of months. But more importantly, this is one where we are about to see and test the hypothesis that an UMNO and PAS cooperation will get us 80% there, and we'll still need, because we will be short of about 2,000 votes if you were to count both the UMNO and PAS, BN and PAS votes last time around in GE14. So we'll still need an extra 2,000 or so.
So you need a swing of
correct.
Some sort.
So you need a swing of some sort. So if BN were to win, that means it is more than just the help from PAS. It's also an actual swing back to the new opposition.
Right. Okay. Well, Arul, how do you see it? Why is it that your party has decided to throw the hat in the ring as well? I mean, what is it do you think is happening here that PSM feels it needs to be there?
Well, I think firstly, if you really look at the number of seats which Pakatan has, this election has no significance because they got 50 seats. Out of 56.
So nothing changes in terms
nothing
of the power
changes, dynamic. There's no change, there's no two-third issue, nothing of that sort. But I think after Pakatan lost Cameron Highlands, I think they can't accept...
But they weren't the incumbent in Cameron, right?
Correct. But then I think, after they lost Cameron, BN became very confident, and the mood started to change. And I think Pakatan feared to lose this seat because this seat was previously won by BN for many terms, Only in the last election, Harapan took over the seat, wrested the seat. And if you look at if you take away the majority, actual majority which they have is only 700. If you add on UMNO, PSM and PAS together, they only have about 700 majority. So it is close in that sense. So I think for PSM, for us, we thought that, we have been standing in the seat, for all these years, and we thought we have a missionary. And we thought it's good to participate in this by-election because, in by-election, the national, everything is in Seminyer. And it's a good time to actually address some of the issues faced by the poor, the middle class, these are the issues which we think we can raise during this by-election.
So it's really a much more pedagogical exercise for the party. They want to educate people about these issues. I mean, do you think you have a fighting chance?
I think that we have a very good candidate. It's a good name, Nick Aziz, for a start. We've got a good candidate. He's an activist. And I think that in PSM, if you have a good candidate, you've done work in that area. And I think for a socialist party, of course, it's difficult. Fighting two big giants here, the Barisan and Pakatan Harapan, with a lot of resources. But I think people want to see, people say, we say if you're angry with BN, you vote PH. If you're angry with PH, you vote BN. But if you're angry with both of them, then vote PSM. Because then we have that, that alternative, you know.
Okay. We'll come back to the question, who are people angry with? But, okay. But Cheryl, do you feel a palpable sense of fear on the side of Pakatan that they might lose this? I mean, something that Arul says, you know, he thinks is going on since Cameron Highlands, and because, as you put it, if UMNO and PAS is the winning combination, that's something to look out for in the future, isn't it?
So, to answer your question, yes. I say this with humility. But I've observed, not just in Semenyih, but in the latter part of Cameron, there was a palpable sense of concern on the part of Pakatan. And it's not difficult to see why, when you see their ceramah. And let's be honest about this. Prior to the general election, their ceramahs usually drew far larger crowds than ours did. The situations turned 180 degrees. So things like that, and also how their candidate and their machinery more, are received on the ground when they go to house visits, when they go to markets and all the rest of it, we can sense that we are on the up in terms of perception, in terms of reception among the public. So I feel that they understand that their fumbles and the poor performance that they've actually portrayed since the past 10 months of being in power, I think it's coming back to haunt them finally.
Okay, and we can put that on record as well. But the question, of course, also is whether, when you talk about the past UMNO combination, we're also looking at the way in which race and religion is a potent mix in the elections of the past, and also in the way that UMNO, your party, has been approaching the politics of the time, right? Which is to stir up sentiments around race and religion. Do you think that's actually the lesson that everybody's going to learn, that that's the way, it's the low road to power rather than the high road to power?
Personally, I hope not. I'm on record saying that whatever cooperation BN ends up having with PAS, or any party for that matter, has to be a Malaysian one. And that means, as difficult as this may seem intuitively, both UMNO and PAS have a history, deep history, of projecting a very Malaysian and multicultural approach, even if Malay and Islam and or Islam are seen to be a dominant force in either of the narratives. So, you know, look at PAS's history with Burhanuddin Helmi, look at UMNO with Tun Razak, with Tun Hussein On, with Pak Lah, and with Najib, especially in the first term. I think there is a recipe there for a Malaysian coalition of an UMNO-PAS kind of flavour. So I think that's the challenge that will need to be tested over the next months and years. But to answer your question, I hope not. I hope we don't take that low road to power. I hope it is principally an arithmetic cooperation based on shared interests and concerns, but one that does not descend into purely a racialist and religious, belligerently religious dynamic.
Okay. Well, if we put, we'll take a short break. We'll be back with my guest, Cheryl Hamdan, UMNO Youth Vice Chief and Arul Chavan, PSM Central Committee member, and also campaign manager for the PSM candidate, Nik Aziz Afiq Abdul, who's running in Semenyih. Stay tuned to Let's Talk. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, S. Arul Chavan, PSM Central Committee member. That's Parti Socialist Malaysia. He's also the campaign manager for the PSM candidate at the Semenyih by-elections. Also with me, Cheryl Hamdan, UMNO Youth Vice Chief, somebody who's also been on the stump the last week or so, trying to get your candidate to win. Now, I do want to quote, because we ended in the discussion about whether you go the high road or low road, BN Secretary General Nasri Abdul Aziz, in his speech recently at Semenyih, said that a non-Muslim should not be Attorney General. That's caused up controversy because it seems to suggest that that is the game that UMNO and PAS are going to be playing in order to win back. The question is whether it resonates with the ground. And I'm very interested to know how you, as members of your political party and your political parties, test ground sentiment. Arul, how are you going to go, and what do you rely on to understand what ground sentiments are?
See, before I go into that, I think the earlier question, you know, this is a fight between Bersatu and UMNO, you know. We call them both having the same DNA. And we think the fight on the ground today is who is more Malay, who's more Muslim, because the 70% of the voters are Malay voters. So that's why I think for PSM, when we bring up issues about other issues, you know, like housing issues, healthcare and all that, in fact, the lot of journalists feel that, oh, you are the only fellas talking about this issue, you know. So we thought our intervention was quite important here, because if not, this election is going to be who is more Malay or who's more Islam in this sense, you see.
But what do voters vote on? Do they ultimately, do identity issues trump day-to-day issues when it comes to voting for your representative?
Oh, but I think one thing is true, that Malay voters are really unhappy with Pakatan, Harapan, and Chinese voters quite fed up, you know. When I meet Chinese voters, most of them feel that nothing has changed. That feeling is quite across the board lah, with all the races. People feel that nothing much has changed. But whether they will vote or whether they will, you know, give a protest vote, which we are hoping they will give it to us, the protest vote, you know. Because we are relying, you know, the last election, 54% of the voters were, 45% of the voters were below 40 years. The voting turnout was 88%, very high. So this time, we hope that we think that the young voters are not going to vote. And we have a young candidate, 25 years old. So we are hoping to get the young voters to come back to vote. And we think they will do protest vote.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, the success or lack of a PSM, quite interesting in the trajectory. You went from having a high of 47% in 2008 to a low of 2.8% in the last election. And I know there are complex reasons for why
that might be, but still,
if you're relying only on protest votes, it does seem to be maybe a futile game to play. But okay, Cheryl, how do you see sentiment? And has sentiment translate into voting behavior?
First, I'm going to take issue with what Arul said, if you don't mind.
No problem.
I do believe that even in BN's campaigning, there are ample issues for us to play on in terms of Pakatan's failures. Not everything has to be racialized, and not everything has to be articulated in terms of race. Even in ceramahs that I've been to, and I've spoken it, stuff around election promises, stuff around lack of integrity, stuff around, appointing somebody's wife for the sake of women empowerment into state agencies, completely against their election manifestos. These are not racial issues. These are issues that can be articulated in terms of how the rakyat would feel about them. And I think, to be fair to BN, even though we understand and we realise and we are informed by the fact that there is a Malay unrest with how Pakatan has governed this past 10 months, not everything we say is in a racial lens. So I think, to be fair to our entire campaign strategy, it's been a wholesome one, one that obviously engages with some ethnic-based discontentment, but also one that is entirely fact-based and almost agnostic to race issues.
Okay, so there's an interesting pushback with that, because PSM has never held power, so they can, in some ways, they can be the principal candidate because they've never had to exercise power in that way. But Barisan has, and Barisan has come out of a hugely disturbing history of abuse of power, abuse of positions. I mean, former prime minister, no less, and members, high-ranking members of your party, are about to go to trial for abuse and corruption. So, I mean, do you ever have people saying to you, yes, I understand the argument, but who are you to speak? I mean, the locus standi for the Barisan National candidate when it comes to integrity must be very difficult, right? So it's shaky ground, isn't it?
Let me answer in two ways. One, the fact that they're going to trial doesn't mean you're convicted. So I think that's my scripted answer, which you will appreciate. But more substantively, it says a lot about how poorly Pakatan has been doing. That the perception about integrity, we are allowed to speak about that. You know, if I were to take off my BN hat, the very fact that I have credibility to speak on it on the ground, maybe some of the members of the audience of your show may smirk on this point, but when I do see voters, they accept that argument. You know, they accept the fact that in just 10 months, there's been so many missteps by Pakatan in terms of integrity and governance, never mind the fact that the economy is not doing very well, never mind the fact that the election promises were not fulfilled, never mind the fact that people feel less well off. You know, you mentioned that things haven't changed. I think they have changed for the worse in many cases, right? I think you have, if you were to summarize or synthesize what Pakatan has been doing for the last 10 months, I think it's problem with governance and integrity. I think it's problem in terms of taking care of B40 group, the B40 right. group. I think in terms of the budget, in terms of what they've done, they've taken away a bunch of assistance and welfare type programs that, you know, you would appreciate that BN had put in place in the last administration. So I think all of those things is an indictment of what Pakatan has been doing. That's easy for us to
I think neither of you can actually speak of the Pakatan side. I mean, I do. I think the critics often say that Pakatan is not communicating enough with, but and the fact that they refuse to enter into a debate with your candidate and your candidate over the I think the BN candidate either.
I think both the candidates, the BN candidate. I think another interesting thing is this election. Except for PSM candidate, the other candidate did not even have a manifesto. You know, there's no manifesto. We declared asset, they didn't declare asset. But I think they feel that you don't have to do all that, you know, to win elections. I have a feeling
But are they being realistic? Are they just being realistic because the Malaysian voter might not demand this?
No, but I think, you know, with Malaysia Baru, we want to raise the standards. You know, now you look at SPR, you look at Bersih, they've raised the standards much higher, you know. It's, you know, they stopped Wahidin Yassin from speaking, you know, because he didn't have a permit.
Okay, institutional standards might be going up, but has the culture changed? And that was going to be my question for the next part. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back to Let's Talk. Stay with us. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. This is a show about the upcoming by-election. Semenye is going to vote on March the 2nd. That's a Saturday. I have with me Cheryl Hamdan, UMNO Youth Vice Chief, and Arul Chelvin from PSM's Central Committee. He's also the campaign manager for the PSM candidate at Semenye. Cheryl, I'll come back to this very basic question about how parties relate to the ground. The former Prime Minister, Najib Razak, was quite prominent in Cameron Highlands. He's not pulled himself back from being visible in this election. For many people, that would seem counterintuitive. Like, you wouldn't want to put somebody who lost the last general election, or he's credited with having lost the last general election for your party in the coalition, to be so prominent in the campaign, but he is.
He's the biggest crowd puller.
So what? Okay, so what is going on there? I mean, try to explain to us what exactly is Najib's magic as he sees it, and that's evidenced in the crowd. Is it just the kind of gawking celebrity status that he has? That people just want to be close to notoriety? What is it?
I think it's a mixture of one, like I've said, complete disillusionment with Pakatan. And when that happens, who do you compare with? You compare with the immediate past. And that is, there's a sense of, I don't know if nostalgia is the right word, having been such a short time, but I think it's around that universe of missing.
So it's rose-tinted glasses on a past that includes 1MDB, by the way. But do people have short memories? Is that
so
what's going on?
I'm not sure.
I don't think Mahathir, you know, making a comeback.
I think what people associate with Datuk Seri Najib at this point is a slew of initiatives and an economic, not lifestyle, but an economic status that is seen to be superior than whatever they're facing now. So for those reasons, I think there is a sense of nostalgia for his administration.
Are we misremembering? Because if I remember correctly, going into the last general election, cost of living was a huge issue. And yes. Barisan Nasional itself failed to address it in many ways. So are we misremembering?
No, but I think Najib, one thing is, the way he portrays himself today, it's not like before, you know. I think the issues he's brought up are actually very relevant. And I think if you look at some of the I think he's one of the most credible critic today to the government.
He's the chief troll, isn't it?
So it's more than the trolling. It's the fact that he's able to tell the story.
I think like he's doing a Mahathir, you know. You know, he's doing Mahathir or Najib.
So the question is, you know, for a party like yours, it's a small party, right? It's an ideologically based party. It's a party that focuses on class issues, but doesn't seem to be able to capture the ground.
So
what is going on here? If you have both integrity, but partly because you never held power, but then you also have these plans that address cross ethnic lines, class issues that represent the vast majority of Malaysians. Why isn't a party like PSM doing better?
No, I think firstly is 61 years of, you know, we Malaysians never saw a two-party system, you know. They've just come to it. So it was very difficult to put in a third alternative, you know. Now people are saying like, now we are quite happy now because people say, oh, same thing, you know. Because people expected dramatic change after Pakatan came to power. Now people are saying, it looks the same. There's corruption here, there's corruption there. They put the same people, they put their own people in the GLCs. And those who spoke so outspokenly before are very quiet now. You know, the activists in Pakatan Harapan are completely quiet. So there's a lot of opportunities for PSM, but it still will take a bit more time. I think like some of the issues we raised in this election, you know, we talked about healthcare, we talked about housing, you know. It was good that when we put these issues on the table, then the minister, you know, Tony Pua, started to talk very defensively.
Okay, so you shifted the debate, maybe. But even if your PSM candidate wins, he can do nothing to state policy, right?
I think, you know, if you look at the minimum wage campaign done by PSM, and if you look at Dr. Jayakumar himself, the one sole parliament member, the speaker said he was one of the best. So I think...
He lost in the last elections because he was not part of the Pakatan Harapan.
Correct. But then again, you know, when you say what can one person like Nick Aziz do, if you look at the opposition now in Selangor, you have 4 UMNO and 1 PAS. Adding this one more UMNO member who doesn't want to even speak in a debate, it might as well you have someone like Nick Aziz who can go out there and fight because he'll be based on principle. He won't play racial politics. He will... You know what the civil society wants to talk about, you know? I think he'll raise these issues very well.
Unfortunately, civil society does not have a vote. In the remaining minutes that we have, I want to ask you guys both, are there local issues, beyond these national issues,
right,
are there local issues that have a determining effect on the elections?
So I think yes, short answer yes. Mostly Selangor state issues, not so much, I think, very local issues. I think the kind of electorate that is in Semenye, would differ to both national and state level issues. So stuff around the water tariff hike, the proposed and prospective water tariff hike, that would be something that I think will be considered by voters. But I think to respond a bit in a couple of minutes that I have for what Mr. Arul said, the problem with the challenge for someone like PSM is that the voice of the opposition is firmly in BN. And while I understand the logic of a protest vote, but if you want a stronger opposition that has both the resources, the experience and the machinery to properly hold government, both state and federal, to account, then it has to be the Barisan-led opposition coalition. So I think just like how Dato' Sri Najib's gaining in popularity because of the way he's able to articulate and communicate some of these attack points against Pakatan, that's something that BN as a whole will always fare better than folks like PSM.
Right. I mean, you say BN, but where is MIC and MCA in this mix? Because we see that.
They're around. Go to the ground,
around. They are around. But I think this is mainly a Bersatu, UMNO versus Bersatu fight. And I think...
For the Malay heartland, is it?
For the Malay heartland. And I think that some of the local issues, you know, like one is public transportation, you know. If you look, there is no bus service from Seminyak to Seremban. Those days you used to have. MRT, which Najib built, stops in Kajang. And the feeder bus doesn't reach Seminyak. So these are actually some of the key issues.
Like Form 6. Local issues for people.
Like there's no Form 6. There were previously Form 6 classes in Seminyak. Now there isn't. You have to go to Kajang. There's no hospitals in Seminyak. People have to go to Seremban, Kajang, Serdang, Putrajaya. These are, I think, key issues.
But this is not the fault of the Pakatan Harapan government, is it? They've been in
power. These are
federal issues that were laid down
when PSM raised this issue of that, and Melimel did a study on that, they said a lot of people were sitting in the floor. And the minister said, Zul said, we're not going to build a hospital. Aiman, when we put a, when our candidate put a question that you need to upgrade the to a hospital, Aiman supported it, you know, the candidate of Pakatan Harapan. The next day, the minister says, we're not going to do that. So I think they are not really interested on the local issues. They're not on the ground, you know. I think for PSM, we want to raise the standards of politics higher. That's why we declare asset. You know, I'm sure that, you know, other people don't want to declare asset, but we would declare asset. We did an anti-racism pledge in front of the market of Seminyak that we won't play racial politics. And then we have a only party to have a manifesto.
But how many votes will you get from that?
No, I think we want to say to people that if you want to a third voice to come, then you give a party like PSM. And you know, today when I was in Broga just now, suddenly this young boy in a motorbike comes with a mineral water. He says, I give you this mineral water because I want the third voice.
Okay, wonderful story, but I don't know if it's going to translate into votes. We'll see what happens this Saturday. Thank you, guys. We've run out of time.
Okay.
Wonderful having you here. I'm sure the debate has. We'll have to bring you back. Okay. I've been speaking to Cheryl Hamdan, UMNO Youth Vice Chief, and Arul Shelvan, PSM Central Committee member and also campaign manager for the PSM candidate in the Seminyak by-election happening this Saturday. Stay tuned. We'll be covering the Seminyak elections the next few days. This has been Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutan, only on Astro 1E.